And when Abdullah bin Zubayr radiallahu anhu was born, then the whole city, the whole Medina erupted with Allahu Akbar, Takbir. Everyone was very happy. Everyone celebrated his birth of this momentous occasion. And how beautifully the poet says, إِذَا شَدَّتْ بِكَ الْبَلْوَى فَفَكِّرْ فِي أَلَمْ نَشْرَحْ فَعُسْرٌ بَيْنَ يُسْرَيْنِ إِذَا فَكَّرْتَهُ فَفْرَحْ. That if any time a difficulty, a calamity befalls you, then فَفَكِّرْ فِي أَلَمْ نَشْرَحْ, then ponder over the surah أَلَمْ نَشْرَحْ لَكَ صَدْرَكْ فَعُسْرٌ بَيْنَ يُسْرَيْنِ إِذَا فَكَّرْتَهُ فَفْرَحْ. In this surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, إِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرَى, إِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرَى. That indeed with difficulty there is ease, indeed with difficulty there is ease. That every time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests you with one moment of difficulty, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will definitely bless you with two moments of happiness, two moments of ease. And likewise, we see with this occasion as well, that yes, the Muslims struggled a bit. They weren't able to get some male children in the whole of the Muslim community, but rather later on you see Nu'man bin Bashir radiallahu an, Abdullah bin Zubayr radiallahu an, such great assets, such great giants to the Muslim community they were. So continuing onwards, when Abdullah bin Zubayr radiallahu an was born, his mother Asma bint Abi Bakr radiallahu an, she first took him to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and his tahniq was done by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam himself. Tahniq is a method when the child is first born, then you chew some food, mainly it's done with dates. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam chewed the date, he made a very soft, small piece, and then he put it into the mouth of Abdullah bin Zubayr radiallahu an. So imagine the first thing which enters the body of Abdullah bin Zubayr radiallahu an is the blessed saliva of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. You could just imagine how blessed the body would be later on as well. The name Abdullah was also given by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and his grandfather Abu Bakr radiallahu an gave the adhan in his ears. And Abu Bakr radiallahu an, obviously number one being a grandfather, as well as being having the honor of the first male to be born in his family, he was very happy, and he was taking him around in the streets of Medina al-Munawwara, and he was doing takbir, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, calling out to the Yahud that your spell, your magic doesn't work, rather Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed the Muslims with a male. So we talked about Abdullah bin Zubayr radiallahu anhu, his birth, his father. We also mentioned Zubayr bin Awam radiallahu anhu. Just to mention a few things. Number one, he was from the Ashra Mubashira, one of the 10 who was promised with Jannah. And Zubayr bin Awam radiallahu an, he also embraced Islam when he was very young. And he was, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives Bashara to him in one of the hadith where he mentions that Zubayr bin Awam radiallahu an will be my neighbor in Jannah. And there's a narration also mentions that Abdullah bin Zubayr radiallahu anhu was wearing a yellow turban on the day of Badr, and the angels were descending following the lead of Zubayr bin Awam radiallahu an. His mother, Asma bint Abi Bakr radiallahu anha, she was the daughter of Abu Bakr radiallahu an. She was amongst the very first few people to accept Islam. The people, right, the scholars, they write that there were 17 people accepted Islam, and Asma bint Abi Bakr radiallahu an was the 18th one. So you could see very amongst the very first few that accepted Islam. She was a very strong, brave woman. You could see this with the tarbiyah of her children as well. As we conclude today's thing, we'll see a very powerful story where Asma radiallahu anha, how she instilled this courage and how she instilled this bravery within her children as well. As for his aunts, his maternal aunt was Aisha radiallahu anha, who was the half-sister of Asma bint Abu Bakr radiallahu anha. And we see with Aisha radiallahu anha, she didn't have any children of herself, but she was given this kunya, she was given this nickname of Umm Abdullah. So raises the question that, oh, how is she known as Umm Abdullah, whereas she has no children, she's not the mother of Abdullah. And they write that she was very closely attached to Abdullah bin Zubayr radiallahu an, which is why she was given this kunya, this nickname of Umm Abdullah. His paternal aunt was Khadija radiallahu anha, and you could just see that his mother is Asma bint Abi Bakr, his father is one of the Ashra Mubashara, his both aunts, maternal aunt is Aisha radiallahu anha, paternal aunt is Khadija radiallahu anha. So a very blessed family, noble lineage as well. A few things about his features and his qualities, his actions which he would do. Abdullah bin Zubayr radiallahu an was, in complexion, he was dark skinned, and he didn't have much facial hair, as the books write about him. And Abdul Wahid ibn Ayman mentions that Ra'aytu ibn Zubayr radiyallahu an rida'an 'adaniyan yusalli fihi wa kana sallita. That Abdullah ibn Zubayr radiyallahu an, that he was once wearing a 'adani cloak, showing how simple he used to be, that nothing too fancy, although he was from a very rich family, you could say, Abu Bakr radiyallahu an, but he was very simple. And I saw him when he was praying salah, and he had a very loud voice. He was very outgoing, very loud. And we also see this later on in the story of his life, where he would not feel scared to call out against the rulers of his time, the tyrants and those going against him. About his bravery, Uthman ibn Abi Talha radiallahu anhu, he mentions that كان ابن زبير لا ينازع في ثلاثة شجاعة ولا عبادة ولا بلاغة. That there are three things about Abdullah ibn Zubayr radiallahu an that no one could really compete with him. If you want, you could compete with other things, with other sahaba radiallahu an, but with Abdullah ibn Zubayr radiallahu an, there's three things that he just wins with every time. Number one is his ibadah, number two is his bravery, and number three is how Abdullah ibn Zubayr radiallahu an would be so eloquent and very nice in his speech, very eloquent. There's an incident about Abdullah ibn Zubayr radiallahu an, where he was just 10 years old, a very young sahabi. He mentions that مر عمر بن الخطاب radiallahu anhu بصبيان وفيهم عبد الله بن زبير radiallahu an ففروا ووقف ووقف فقال له عمر radiallahu an ما لك لم تفر مع أصحابك فقال يا أمير المؤمنين لم أجرم فأخافك ولم يكون الطريق ضيقا فأوسع لك. That once Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu an, he was walking on the street, and there were some kids playing on the street. So when they saw Umar radiallahu an, they got scared. Everyone ran away. As you know, Umar radiallahu an, big guy, scary guy. So the kids, obviously, they got scared. Whereas even the big would get afraid of him. The enemies would get afraid of him. So likewise, the kids also got afraid, and they all started running away. But Abdullah ibn Zubayr radiallahu an didn't run away. He stayed put in his spot. So Umar radiallahu anhu said that, oh, Ibn Zubayr, why didn't you run away when all your friends, all of the other kids ran away? And he said that, I did not do some mistake that I should be scared of, that I could run away with, that I should run away for. And number two, nor is the path too small, too narrow, that it could only fit one of us. The path is wide enough, it could fit both of us. So you see, from a young age, the age of 10, Abdullah ibn Zubayr radiallahu anhu is very bold, he's very brave, that he's not scared of Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu an. Just to mention a few of his battles that Abdullah ibn Zubayr radiallahu anhu participated in, Ibn Ma'in rahimahullah, he narrates, he mentions that on the battle of Jamal, Abdullah ibn Zubayr radiallahu anhu had over 40 wounds on his body, that he was pierced, he was shot with arrows, with swords. Over 40 times he was afflicted on his body. Ibn Hajar rahimahullah, he mentions in Al-Isaba, it's a book on the biographies of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. So under Abdullah ibn Zubayr radiallahu anhu, he brings the incident that once Abdullah ibn Zubayr radiallahu anhu was leading a group of 20,000 Muslims, and this expedition was in Africa. And they met the enemy, and the enemy was 100,000. So the Muslims are 20,000, and the enemy is 100,000. But when the king of the enemies, he saw Abdullah ibn Zubayr radiallahu an, he saw how he was not scared of the enemies, how he saw he was so brave, he immediately fled, and therefore the Muslims were granted victory. This is one aspect of his life, his bravery, his courage. Another aspect is his piety at home, his righteousness. He was very well known for this as well. As we mentioned, that لا ينازع في ثلاثة, that he's not contested, you cannot compete with him in three things. Number one we mentioned was his bravery, and number two was his piety. So as for his piety, he would divide his night into three portions. Number one, he would say that one third of my night, I would only do qiyam. The whole night, one third of it, I would only stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second third, I would be in ruku to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, bowing down to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in the last third, I would be doing sajda to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Many great tabi'un, they praised Abdullah ibn Zubayr radiallahu anhu for his piety as well. Mujahid rahimahullah, who was one of the most famous students of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, very leading scholar in the field of tafsir, he mentions that once around the Kaaba, Mecca was flooded, there was a lot of water, so naturally people are home, they're not coming outside. And he says that, I saw someone around the Kaaba, he's trying to do tawaf. And when he looked closer, it was none other than Abdullah bin Zubayr radiallahu anh. That even in this moment when the Kaaba is flooded, there's water, Abdullah bin Zubayr radiallahu anhu, he's swimming his way to do tawaf around the Kaaba, making tawaf to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Amr ibn Dinar rahimahullah, he mentions that ma ra'aytu musalliyan qattu ahsana salata min Abdullah ibn Zubayr radiallahu anhu, that I have not seen someone more exceptional, someone more concentrated in his salah than Abdullah bin Zubayr radiallahu anhu. It's mentioned that sometimes when he would perform his salah, it'd be so still, so calm, only focused on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that you would have birds come and sit on him. Often if you notice, if you even make slightest movement from couple feet away, the birds would move and they would fly away. But Abdullah bin Zubayr radiallahu anhu was so still, so motionless in salah, that these birds would come and they would sit upon Abdullah bin Zubayr radiallahu anhu. One of the main aspects of the life of Abdullah bin Zubayr radiallahu anhu was towards the end of his life. The aspect related to his khilafah is a very lengthy topic, very intricate topic as well, about the actions which he did with the leadership at that time, with Marwan ibn Hakam, as well as Hajjaj ibn Yusuf and others. I won't get into much detail, but inshallah just give a brief summary. So after the demise of the Khulafa Rashidun, Abu Bakr radiallahu an, Umar radiallahu an, Uthman radiallahu an, and Ali radiallahu an, you also had Muawiyah radiallahu an, who was also considered under the Khulafa Rashidun. And before Muawiyah radiallahu an passed away, he appointed his son Yazid as his successor, someone to be Khalifa after him. And just to put it, just to mention at first, there was a lot of problems with Yazid. He was, you could say he was a tabi'i. He came later on, he met the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. In fact, he was the son of the Sahaba radiallahu an, Muawiyah radiallahu an. But he had a lot of problems with him. The Sahaba radiallahu anhum didn't like him, not because of worldly reasons, rather because of the deen reasons. The Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they mentioned that he was someone who would not pray salah, he was someone that would not, he would listen to music, he was someone that would drink alcohol, would drink wine occasionally. So you can just see he's not someone very pious, someone very righteous. And now the question rises that why did Muawiyah radiallahu an, why did he appoint his son despite him having all these faults? And if you read, then it mentions that Muawiyah radiallahu an, genuinely he did not know that his son had all these characteristics. You could put it into perspective, even nowadays, sometimes the parents might not know about their kids. The whole community might know, the other students might know, but the parents might not know because the kid tries to hide it in front of their parents. Likewise with Muawiyah radiallahu an, he did not know of these evil characteristics of his son, and he felt that he was fit for this position of imara, for this position of leadership. He did not do this just so that the leadership could remain in his family, that oh, Muawiyah was a khalifa, his son's also khalifa. Na'udhu billah, Muawiyah radiallahu an did not do it for that reason. So you had many senior Sahaba radiallahu anhum, the likes of Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu an, Abdullah bin Zubayr radiallahu an, Hassan, Hussein radiallahu an, all these different Sahaba radiallahu anhum, many other hundreds that were alive at this time, and didn't feel that Yazid was a right fit. So you had groups amongst the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, those who upright rejected him, the likes of Hussein radiallahu an, Abdullah bin Zubayr radiallahu an, that as soon as they heard that Yazid was now the new Khalifa, they said, no, we're not going to obey you, we're not going to give bay'ah, we're not going to pledge allegiance to you. Other side, you have those Sahaba like Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu an, who neither gave allegiance nor did they upright reject him. They just said, we won't take a side. Once every single Muslim accepts you, once every single Muslim pledges allegiance, then I'll be the last one to do so. We know the whole story of Hussein radiallahu an as well, where he was martyred under him, or by him, in fact. There's a lot of narrations on this topic which make it very confusing. There's some mention that it was Yazid that killed him, that beheaded Hussein radiallahu an, the grandson of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There's other narrations that it wasn't Yazid, rather he sent someone, he gave command to someone that, oh, you go do behead Hussein radiallahu an. And then there's other narrations which mention that he neither commanded it nor did he do it himself, Rather, when it was done and he saw the head of Hussein radiallahu anhu, he was very happy with it. Nonetheless, making it that he was someone not good, Yazid. And then, due to all of his mistakes, the mistakes of Yazid, arguably some could argue that do you say rahimahullah, do you say radiyallahu an, or do you upright reject him, say la'anahullah, that may Allah curse him. So you have two groups from amongst the Sahaba radiyallahu anhum, from the Tabi'un, all the way till recent scholars as well. You have a group that's saying that yes, you're allowed to curse him. Other groups say that don't curse him, rather you just leave it up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just say Yazid without saying either rahimahullah nor la'anahullah. Someone would just say Yazid alayhi ma yastahiq, Yazid may he receive what he deserves, leaving it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's a very nice incident story from Umar ibn Abdul Aziz rahimahullah. He came later on, he was often also classified as one of the Khulafa al-Rashidun. So he was once asked about Yazid, and he mentioned that, oh, what is your stance on Yazid? Do you think he's a good guy? Do you think he's a bad guy? To which Umar ibn Abdul Aziz rahimahullah, he replies that تِلْكَ دِمَاءٌ طَهَرُ اللَّهُ يَدَ الْيَمِينَ فَلَنْ أُرِيدُ أَنْ أَخْطِبَ لِسَانِي فِيهَا. That was a time, that was such bloodshed between the Muslims, amongst the Muslims, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has protected me from, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has saved my hands from receiving any of that blood. So I do not wish to even soil my and dirty my mouth by talking about it. Meaning, again, he left the decision to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he did not choose either side. So after the demise of Yazid bin Muawiyah, Abdullah bin Zubayr radiallahu anhu, he becomes the Khilafah. The son of Yazid, who was also named Muawiyah, so Muawiyah bin Yazid bin Muawiyah, he was much understanding. He understood that his father was wrong, and he also claimed that his grandfather Muawiyah radiallahu anhu shouldn't have taken the Khilafah. Rather, he should have left it for Hussein radiallahu anhu. So once he becomes the Khalifa, he himself gets off the post of Khilafah, and he gives it to Abdullah bin Zubayr radiallahu anhu. And this took place in the 64th year after Hijrah. So Yazid bin Muawiyah passes away, and Abdullah bin Zubayr radiallahu anhu becomes Khilafa. So you have thousands of people coming from Yemen, from Khurasan, from Egypt, from all these different Muslim countries, from the whole Hijaz area, and they're giving bay'ah to Abdullah bin Zubayr radiallahu anhu. And Abdullah bin Zubayr radiallahu anhu, he did many great things in his Khilafa. One of them included the rebuilding of the Kaaba, that every few years, decades perhaps, that the walls would grow weaker, some things would happen. So then, once again, he reconstructed the Kaaba, making the walls firmer and stronger. And during the leadership of Abdul Malik ibn Marwan, Abdullah ibn Zubayr radiallahu anhu, he stood strong with against his leadership. He considered him to be wrong, a tyrant, killing many Muslims unjustly, having Hajjaj bin Yusuf also under him. Abdullah bin Zubayr went against both of them, Abdul Malik ibn Marwan and Hajjaj bin Yusuf. So this is one of the stories at the very end of his life, where Abdul Malik ibn Marwan, he sends Hajjaj bin Yusuf to Mecca, and mainly to capture Abdullah bin Zubayr radiallahu an, because you have majority of the Muslims who are either quiet, they don't say anything, or even those who are against you, but then they don't voice their opinion. But Abdullah bin Zubayr radiallahu an was one of those Sahaba radiallahu an, where he was very actively against the government, and he would voice his opinions as well. So Hajjaj bin Yusuf, he comes to Mecca in the 72 year after Hijrah, and he lays a siege around Mecca. There's a lot of battles outside, small battles outside of Mecca, where most of the army of Abdullah bin Zubayr radiallahu anhu were martyred, they were made shaheed, and then they were compelled to retreat back into Mecca and take shelter. So as Hajjaj bin Yusuf, he surrounds Mecca, he's about to come inside, he's throwing catapults, he's throwing he's restoring the Kaaba again. He intends to kill those who oppose him, meaning Abdullah bin Zubayr radiallahu anhu. So at this time, Abdullah bin Zubayr radiallahu anhu, he goes to his mother, Asma radiallahu anha, who at this time is 100 years old. You just imagine, very old, very weak as well. The scholars mentioned that at this time, her eyes were very weak. She couldn't see much. Either she was blind completely, or she couldn't see well. So Asma radiallahu anha, she asks her son that, oh, what is it? Why have you come? Did you guys become victorious? And Abdullah bin Zubayr says that, no, rather I came to do mashura with you. I came to consult with you. Could take a lesson from here, that Abdullah bin Zubayr radiallahu anhu, being how great of a Sahabi he was, despite how old he was, also all that wisdom, hikmah that he had accumulated by this time, rather he still never forgot his mother, who is 100 years at this time, and he goes to do mashura with her. So he mentions, Abdullah bin Zubayr radiallahu anhu mentions that, no, we haven't won. I just came to consult with you. Should I continue fighting with Hajjaj bin Yusuf? Most of my army have been defeated. They have been killed. So his mother, she says that if you think you're on the haq, if you think what you're doing is right, then continue doing so. Meaning that you'll have to die regardless. Death will come to you either today. If not today, then tomorrow. It's like the story of Musa alayhi salam, where Musa alayhi salam, before he passed away, the angel of death came to him and he tried taking his life, he tried taking his soul. So Musa alayhi salam was like, what are you doing? And he slapped the angel of death. He's like, why are you taking my soul? He said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded me to come take your soul. And Musa alayhi salam said that, oh, go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and tell him that Musa does not want to die right now. Musa alayhi salam does not want to die right now. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant me some more life. So the angel of death goes back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he comes back to Musa alayhi salam and he says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given some leeway. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that you could place your hand on an ox, on a buffalo, and the amount of hair that you have in your hands, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you one life for each hair. So Musa alayhi salam said that, okay, what's after that? What will happen after all those years of life? And the angel of death said that after that you'll have to die anyways. So Musa alayhi salam said that if I have to die today or die after 50 years, how many ever years, then what's the point? Might as well die right now. So similar story with Asma radiallahu anha. She's telling her son that, yes, one thing, you could be at home, just be a coward, stay back, don't fight against the zalim, don't fight against the tyrant. If not today, then you'll have to die tomorrow. So anyways, his mother advises him that he goes out and he fights with the oppressors. But there was one concern that Abdullah ibn Zubayr radiallahu anhu he had, and he tells it to his mother. He says that, I'm scared that when I pass away, that they're going to mutilate my body, they're going to disfigure my body, they're going to cut pieces, they're going to disgrace me after I pass away. So Asma radiallahu anha, you can see the response that she gives. She says that when a sheep is dead, when you slaughter a sheep and then you skin it later on, it doesn't feel any pain. Likewise, when they kill you originally, when they first kill you and then they mutilate you, they cut your organs, they cut your hands, your feet, you won't feel it anyways afterwards, so why do you care about that? So Abdullah ibn Zubayr radiallahu anhu, he likes the answer of his mother. And in the start we mentioned that the whole family, Abdullah ibn Zubayr radiallahu anhu, he was very brave as well as his mother, and how that transferred into how Asma radiallahu anha gave this tarbiyah to the children as well. So you could see from this story that how brave she is herself. And as Abdullah radiallahu anhu, he's getting up, he kisses his mother for the last time, he hugs her, trying to receive the blessings he could from her. Make dua for me that I'm going, perhaps you won't not see me again. So Asma radiallahu anha, as she's hugging her son Abdullah ibn Zubayr radiallahu anhu, she feels some roughness, she feels some metal on him. And as we mentioned that she's blind, or close to being blind, she couldn't see. So she asks him, what is this thing on you? What is this that I feel? And he mentions that this is some armor, some shield that I'm wearing. And she said that, I don't know anyone who claims that they want to be a martyr and they wear such a thing. Meaning that if you claim that you truly want to be a martyr, you claim that you truly want to be a shaheed, then you should not wear such a thing. So Abdullah ibn Zubayr radiallahu anhu, he takes it off and he goes and fights against the army of Hajjaj bin Yusuf. His companions, the Tabi'un, as well as those few Sahaba who were with him, they mentioned that we saw Abdullah ibn Zubayr radiallahu anhu fighting on this day as if he was equivalent to 1,000 men on his own. It's 1,000 men army, Abdullah ibn Zubayr radiallahu anhu fighting so bravely, fighting so courageously against the army of Hajjaj bin Yusuf. It's mentioned that Abdullah ibn Zubayr radiallahu anhu, he was killed either on the 14th or 15th of Dhul Hijjah, and he passed away in the year 73 after Hijrah. When Asma radiallahu anha later heard of his martyrdom, she says to Hajjaj, "That afsadta alayhi dunyah wa afsada alayka akhiratak." That yes, O Hajjaj, perhaps you killed him today. He's not alive in this earth anymore. You destroyed his life. But my son Abdullah bin Zubair, he has destroyed your akhirah. That you killed a sahaba of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Tomorrow, under the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will have to respond to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After Abdullah bin Zubair radiallahu anhu, he passed away, he was martyred. You could see how Hajjaj bin Yusuf disgraced him. His body was hung in the when you first enter Mecca, it was put on display. When Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anh, he passed by the body, he made dua for him, and he said that لَمَنْ كَبَّرَ حِينَ وَلِدَ أَكْثَرُ وَخَيْرٌ مِمَّنْ كَبَّرَ لِقَتْلِهِ, that by Allah, those people who did takbir, those people who did Allahu Akbar when you were born, they are far more greater, they are far more better than those who do takbir upon your death. That you have this group of people who are being happy that Abdullah ibn Zubayr radiallahu anh is killed, but then you also had those people who were extremely happy the day he was born. So Ibn Umar radiallahu anh, he says that those who did takbir the day you were born were much greater. And the narrations mentioned that when he was killed, normally after someone passes away, or even worse, when someone is killed, then you have this bad smell emanating from the body. But with Abdullah ibn Zubayr radiallahu anh, you had this very nice, very fragrant smell, pleasant smell coming from his body. Some narrations mention that in order to combat that, Hajjaj bin Yusuf, he tied some dead cat, some dead corpse around him just to make that bad smell come from Abdullah bin Zubayr radiallahu anh. But despite him trying to, there was still a very good smell coming from the body of Abdullah bin Zubayr radiallahu anh. Just to conclude, inshallah, this is the life of one sahabi of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the life of Abdullah bin Zubayr radiallahu anh. There's so many other sahaba radiallahu anhum, hundred thousand sahaba radiallahu anh plus. If you read and learn about their lives, then you see that how great every single one of these sahaba radiallahu anhum were. These were the people who Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam trained for 13 years in Mecca, 10 years in Medina, that every moment they had with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they were benefiting, they were able to take something from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam describes the sahaba radiallahu anhum, that ashabika nujum bi ayyihim iqtadaytum ihtadaytum, that my companions, every single one of the sahaba radiallahu anhum, they are like guiding stars, that whichever, take any one sahaba radiallahu anhu, take him, follow him, and take his teachings, follow the sunnah of those sahaba radiallahu anhum, and you will be guided. And these were the sahaba radiallahu anhum who were trained from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from the their love they had for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the love they had for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that they were ready to give up the dunya, as we saw in the story of Abdullah bin Zubayr radiallahu anhu, and they were ready to sacrifice their own lives as well as the lives of their children for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And a very famous statement of Umar radiallahu anhu, where he mentions, "Inna kunna adhalla qawmin fa'a'azzana Allah bil Islam, famahma natlubu al-izzata bighayri ma a'azzana Allah bihi adhallana Allah." That we were such a people back in Mecca, we know the stories how the Muslims every day a new persecution, every day some new torment they would be given, some day lashing, Bilal radiallahu anhu, being dragged in the sands of Mecca. We were some people who no one cared for us, we were disgraced. But then with Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made us such that later on, fast forward 10, 15 years, there were these superpowers of the time. Defeated the Romans, defeated the Persians. They were the very, they were the superpowers at that time. So he's giving advice to those companions around him, those tabi'un around him. He says that any time you try seeking izzah, you try seeking honor from anything besides Islam, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will surely return you back to that state, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will disgrace you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will humiliate you again. And just to end off on the last point, Imam Shafi rahimullah, he writes a poem where he says, قَدْ مَاتَ قَوْمٌ وَمَا مَاتَتْ مَكَارِمُهُمْ وَعَاشَ قَوْمٌ وَهُمْ فِي النَّاسِ أَمْوَاتُ, that you have some people who have passed on. Physically, they're no longer living with us, passed away days ago, years ago, centuries ago, but till today you have their legacy still with us. If you look at the great scholars of the past, the likes of Imam Bukhari rahimullah, Imam Muslim, or even take the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, 1,000 years ago they passed away, but till today we talk about them. Till today we read their books, we read their ahadith. On the other hand, you have وَعَاشَ قَوْمٌ وَهُمْ فِي النَّاسِ أَمْوَاتٌ, there are some people who are alive within us today, but then they're as no good, they're as if they're dead. They have no good, they have no khair they could bring to the ummah. So with these sahaba radiallahu anhum, they've passed on many hundreds of years ago, but spiritually they're as if they're still living with us today. Every day we could benefit from them, their hadith, benefit from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to implement whatever we have learned. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to become brave, courageous like these sahaba radiallahu anhum, and allow us to stand up when it comes to speaking the haq. Ameen ya rabbal alameen. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.